So what should we say? I like that as a beginning to a passage. It's like, come on, guys, you know. So what's the point, eh? He's kind of throwing his hands in the air and going, what the heck? So shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. So let's get it out of the way, okay? Let's just say right at the start, first point, it's a terrible thing, William Barclay puts it, it's a terrible thing to trade on the mercy of God and make it an excuse for sinning. The theory is that if, you know, us doing wrong stuff, us sinning, then gives God a chance to show grace to us, then surely it's a good thing if we keep on sinning, because then if we keep on sinning, there will be more grace, more sin, more grace. It's like 2 plus 2, isn't it? And we get, well, about 17, because we know in reality that it doesn't really work that way, or it shouldn't work that way. It's like a kid who thinks, actually, my parents really love me, and in order to give them a chance to forgive me, I am going to misbehave something shocking. I am going to do everything there is to do wrong. And you know what? They'll have to forgive me because they're my parents. Well, for those of you who are parents, and for those of you who are children, that should include everyone in the room, or who were children, we know that, again, that's not quite the case, is it? And as a parent, you don't go, oh, yeah, go for it, because I really love it when you do that stuff, and I'm going to encourage you, and then I'm going to forgive you too, because you know what will happen. You'll end up somewhere you don't want to be. Somebody put it like this. It is taking advantage of love to break love's heart. Which, when you hear it or read it out, breaks your own heart, doesn't it, a bit? Taking advantage of love to break love's heart. That's really rough when we put it like that. But when we think of our own sin, especially when we put it like that, we go, wow, those things which I have done, be it an iniquity, a transgression, or a sin, all of those things were me taking advantage of love to break love's heart. That's really rough. I always start on a really bad note, don't I? I've realised that now that I'm standing here doing it again. but that's kind of the way this works out, isn't it? And then we have this thing about baptism. I was really encouraged talking to Eleanor this morning in the office, because she was kind of going, do you know what? When we're doing doctrinal stuff, it's just really hard to prepare, isn't it? It's really hard, especially with youth stuff, to kind of go through it all and to figure out what one thing you're going to make a point on. Because that's really what you want to do, is make a point. And that's really difficult. And when we started talking about, you know, what we're going to say, it turns out that she's going to say one thing, or at least bring in passages to say one thing. I'm going to bring in a whole different set of passages to say one thing. And as far as we can tell, Mark's going to do exactly the same. Bring in a whole different set of passages to say one thing. So, coming from a Baptist background, it's very dangerous for me to be standing up at the front talking about baptism in a Church of England church. Maybe they didn't realise when they gave me this date. It's quite possible. but it's fair to say that talking about baptism the way it's talked about here, it says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptised into Christ Jesus were baptised into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You see, everyone who was listening to that would have understood it. Everyone. The reason for that is that there is this sort of same tradition in lots of different things. But they were, for the Gentiles, I guess, for the Greeks at least, there were these traditions of going to their God and offering themselves to that God. Usually it involved some kind of debauchery and other things, but there was this act of baptism. There was this act of cleansing themselves in such a way, in oils and in whatever else, and smells and whatever else that went along with it, to then be united with that particular God. And they would do this for multiple gods as well. In the Jewish tradition, we know that when they were coming to worship, actually they would enter. If you haven't seen this before, there is a baptism tank under here, which I've used for multiple things, not baptisms. don't tell anybody. It's a secret. But they would have stepped down into that. There was a specific amount of water that had to be in there and other things. They had to cleanse their tongues, their faces, their hands. They had to cleanse everything. They had to wear specific clothes so that in that day, they were cleansing themselves and becoming a new person. In fact, there was a tradition in that by some rabbis that you were such a new person, you were made completely new, that actually you could, if you wanted, marry your sister or somebody in your family because you were no longer part of that family because you were a completely new person. From what I've read, that never happened, but it was a theory. Thank goodness it never happened. But it was such a theory. It went that far that when you came out of the water again, you were completely made new. And those last lines, we too may live a new life. We're kind of aware of that. But sometimes actually when we talk about it or when we live it out, it's that we may live a new life. We have this idea and this theory of new life. We know that when we go into that water or we're sprinkled with that water or whatever, that we're going down old and we're coming up new. But that word, that we may live that new life, is something different. It puts a different emphasis on it. And it's saying, actually, it's not just that act. That act is really, really important. But in most baptisms I've been to, the pastor, vicar, whoever, has said something along the lines of, there is nothing magic about this water. There is nothing, and so on and so forth. They said stuff like that. But they've said, but the thing that you are doing now is so important. It is so important. Because you are made new in your faith. You are made new to go and live a new life. And having been a soul survivor the last week and still been recovering, the older you get, the longer it takes you to recover. Actually watching, we had two young people, Mary and Jack, who went and gave their lives to God. Mary, it was like as soon as we got there. I've worked with Mary since she was in year 7 and came, and she has been trouble since day 1. And she's amazing. But when we saw her go, we weren't expecting it. We were all surprised. Most of us weren't even looking. Somebody nudged me and went, is that Mary? And I went, yeah, yeah it is. What's going on? She's gone up. What? But away she went. And the very next thing was she was standing, worshipping, talking to Jesus, praying with other people. I was amazed. But that idea of new life in God was just really evident. Really evident. And brilliant to see. So, I'm realizing that this passage could just be like 4 or 5 sermons on its own, so I'm going to move on. So it goes on to say, for if we have been united with him in death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, this is a difficult one for me. I've been a Christian since I was 5 years old. And quite often, and I think when I've stood up here before, I've given my testimony like this. Something along the lines of, oh, I was in the depths of despair, I was into drink and drugs, and I was partying hard, and then at the age of 5, I became a Christian. Because there's this weird thing in us, isn't there, that we don't realize we're free sometimes because we've been doing something for such a long time. We don't realize what it was like before, or we've forgotten what it might have been like before, or we just never had that opportunity to go into those things. And as a parent, as a youth worker, talking and working with parents, I can tell you that no parent has ever wished a better testimony for you. Nobody has ever thought, I wish they'd done a bit more bad things so that their testimony sounded a bit more impressive. Because at the minute, it's a bit boring. Nobody ever does that because they know what it's like. Sometimes, though, we don't feel new, do we? There's a feeling there. Sometimes we don't feel free. Because although we are made new, and it actually in the original language talks about the old man, so you, which is weird, makes me sound like I'm going to get rid of my dad. But actually putting off the old man and putting on the new man, which is weird, isn't it? But that's kind of how it talks. It's going, do you know what? This is a completely new thing. I'm not holding on to some of the stuff that was there before. It's a completely and utterly new thing. But the thing is that we're in this time. We're in this time where we're in attention. And sin still wants our attention. Sin still wants us and still gives us, I guess, something that looks really attractive that we would get involved in. Still looks like it would be the best thing for us to do in that moment. But sin and the devil only have a couple of tactics, really, okay? And sorry, guys, I'm completely stealing this from Soul Survivor because I thought it was really good. So if you're in for this talk, tough. sin only has really a couple of tactics, and they are this, pretty much, okay? Look at this. Isn't this really attractive? Wouldn't you like to have this? This is everything that you could ever want. Look at this. This is the best thing in the world. Why don't you do this thing? Or it goes with fear. And it goes along the lines of, well, if you don't do this, then who are you? All right, you'll never make it. You'll never be what you want to be. God can't do everything for you that you want him to. So why don't you just give up and do this thing? Now, there might be some shades of grey in there. Okay, there might be some things that you want to come to me afterwards and say, but Phil, what about this thing? And that's fine, please do. But when you boil it down, actually, those are pretty much the two tactics that he has. In Galatians 5, verse 1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. But here's the active bit, okay? Here's the active bit. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That's the active bit. Do you know what? It's not just a case of, you're free, everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Just, you know, ignore it. It'll be okay. It's not a case of that. It says, stand firm then. There's an act that we have to do of standing firm. Saying to the devil, saying to sin, no, I won't. I won't. And the thing is, on top of that, this is the, I'm still waiting for the good point of my own sermon here. I'm getting a bit depressed myself. On top of all of that, we have something which is called, which Tim Ross at Soul Survivor, please look him up, he was fantastic, called it the Lazarus effect. We know the story of Lazarus. We know that Jesus raised him after 4 days of stench and smell and death. And even Mary and Martha were a bit like, you don't really want to do that, Jesus. You do not want to go in there. That is going to reek as bad as a young person's tent after 5 days at Soul Survivor. But he raised him, and Lazarus went with Jesus. And later on, it says, so the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Do you know what? Sin's pretty jealous too. And when we walk with Jesus and people see our walk with Jesus, when we live a new life, not just live a life that we are aware is new, but live a new life, stand firm, then people are going to, there's going to be a Lazarus effect. people are going to want to do stuff, or sin is going to want to catch us out, or really tempt us, or make us afraid. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. But it goes on to say, now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Now, this is where the analogy comes in, okay? I won't need any more because you have to listen to me. But I'm diabetic, okay? I was trying to think, how does this work out practically? And for me personally, it works out exactly like this. I am diabetic. I'm type 1 diabetic. That means I rely on insulin to help me deal with the carbohydrates and whatever else I take in. I rely on insulin to keep me on a level, which is why I take two different types. It won't get any more complicated than that, okay? It can be. But if we have a new life, if we are baptized, and then we allow sin to win, we don't stand firm, okay? It's a bit like me being diabetic, eating a diet of Haribo, okay? I know it's not good for me, but here's the thing, I love Haribo. I really do, genuinely. Do you want one? Ah, see? See? Well done, you stood firm. But it's like me just eating stuff that's bad for me all the time. Now, some people in here know me quite well and probably think, Phil, I see you eat stuff that's bad for you all the time. As long as you have enough insulin, you don't care, which is kind of true. But it would be like me just gorging on Haribo, like having a contest with Hannah to see who could eat the most, you know, and stuff like that. I'm not taking any insulin because, you know, why bother? You know, I'm a new life. I have a new life. Why bother worrying? I'm diabetic, but, you know, doesn't matter. It's a bit like just not looking after yourself, is how I would put it. Not looking after your faith. Not looking after your walk. Not looking after your relationship with Jesus. It's really bad that these are here, by the way, because I really do want to eat them all. Genuinely. But Hannah will kill me, and it may kill me, so I won't bother. John Piper, I once heard him say at a big Christian festival in Northern Ireland, the devil is like a rabid dog that wants nothing more to gnaw and bite at you. But thanks to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has no teeth. He has no teeth. Because do you know what? Despite the fear that he can cause, despite the temptation, he has no teeth because death has been defeated. Jesus Christ died and rose again. Death could not hold him. And we have died with Christ. We are living in Christ's resurrection. Not just for when he returns, but for now, for now. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, he committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. By his wounds you have been healed. You do not any longer have to hold on to stuff in the past. You no longer have to hold on to the stuff that you've done. We do need to seek forgiveness, some quite often from people that we have done wrong to. But we also have sought forgiveness of God. We have been baptized and raised again. And we have died in his death and have been raised with him. And we have been healed through that. James 4, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Did you realize it was that easy? Resist him. Give him a good, swift kick in the butt. Do you know what I mean? Use whatever analogy you want. But whenever you're tempted, or whenever you are scared, whenever there is something going on and you think, do you know what? I really don't want to do that. If you're in an addiction, get help. But tell him to go away. Just tell him to go. In the name of Jesus Christ, rebuke him. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It is a bit like being double-minded, isn't it? When we live supposedly a new life, when we tell people we've got a new life, when we say, I am a Christian, I have been baptized, I have done the rest, I go to church every Sunday, I put money in the offering, in fact I give by direct debit now, and all that kind of stuff. And yet we hold on to stuff, and we keep it hidden from our friends, keep it hidden from our family. And they don't know, but all we're doing is holding on to it. All we're doing is holding on to it, and it's eating us. We have died to sin and are no longer slaves to it. We have been made free. We made a commitment to live in that freedom. The devil and death does not rule you because you are Christ's and Christ has defeated them. When we live free, we will most certainly find opposition, sometimes from surprising places. When you go home, open up Ephesians 2 and just read Ephesians 2. I've spoke for long enough, but it's worth a read. Just, it doesn't even need any explanation. Just read it and shout it out around your house. The neighbours will think you're crazy, but it's okay. It's okay. And I finish with this, again from William Barclay. We cannot live our physical lives unless we are in the air and the air is in us. Unless we are in Christ and Christ in us, we cannot live the life of God. He's done the hard work. I'm not saying our work's going to be easy. I'm not saying everything's going to be smooth and cool, because it's going to be tough. Standing firm is not easy. But we can stand firm together. We can live in the light of our baptisms. And we can live not just in the head knowledge of what Christ has done, but in our relationship with him and that we have gone through it with him. Live life now. Don't wait to live life when you get to heaven. But be loud and proud about who you are and whose you are now. Amen.